excel yourself. If you learn anything new from our session, that would be our objective. And definitely we are focused because we all have, I feel, same roots. We start our career from a village school. And today, when I was in states, I was the first guy who was in state from my village. So I would like to see every one of you over different achievement. So that's what we have. So, okay. Rath, we can proceed, right?
Yeah, we can proceed. And like, if anyone join, they can see us. So,
okay.
And yeah, everything is working so like pretty well. So, yeah.
So
let me introduce you first. As it looks like most of the developers are from Bangladesh. So, hello, everyone. This is Rath Yasir. Many of you know me, and because like I was pretty active with Bangladeshi IT developer community, and like I got a lot of things like thought of my career when I was in Bangladesh. And last year I moved here in Canada, and like working here at as a researcher at University of Saskatchewan, and I'm also in Microsoft MVP in Windows development. So as a part of my work, I do like talk at different seminars and conferences. And today, like we are as a part of C-Sharp Corner Canada chapter, we are organizing a webinar for developers all over the world, especially for Bangladeshi MSPs and developers. So we have Deepak Kaushik. He's our keynote speaker today. He's C-Sharp Corner MVP, and also he's working at Solvira Solutions, Regina, Canada, as a senior technical consultant. So I guess like we're really lucky to have Deepak here today, and he's gonna share his experience, his what he has faced throughout his career, and it will be really helpful for all of us. So Deepak, please proceed. It's your turn now.
Thanks, Rahat. Thanks for kind word. It's gratitude of Rahat. We are doing as a team, and definitely we would like to see everyone in conference to join us as a team. It's team effort. So yeah, you could say C-Sharp Corner Regina chapter event. We have started Regina chapter event for technical community. The objective is to have a platform where we could discuss about technical stuff, the cutting edge technology. And if we talk about cutting edge technology nowadays, cloud is in demand. The reason is today we can't expect any company without internet, and same would be, you know, as rare as any company without cloud in 2020. That is not my line, that is by Microsoft. So if you improve your skill set in cloud computing, definitely you have very bright future. This is the right time, take the bus, everyone in conference. This is really a good time. As you could see, 5 years back it is MSBI, before that there are different technology boom up. If you improve your skill set in Azure, definitely you have very bright career. So today we talk about Azure Data Warehouse. Objective is very, very clear, to compare it with traditional data warehouse versus the Azure Data Warehouse. What is the benefit? How we can do that? So if we talk about warehouse means where something has been stored, right? If I would say fruit warehouse, where fruit has been stored. So data warehouse talk about where data has been stored. But why cloud data warehouse? That is another question. Why don't on-prem data warehouse? If you got the opportunity to visit any data warehouse, then definitely you came to know it's very big on-prem. I have been, you know, at Xerox warehouse at Webster, which is in 5 kilometer long. We have to take cycle from one building to another building. So that is the on-prem data warehouse, and why we are moving to cloud data warehouse. We will compare between another performance stuff, why traditional or massive parallel processing, you could say cloud data warehouse. Another stuff is how to measure the data warehouse performance, and we will execute some query to look or how it works. So first of all, what data warehouse is? Traditional data warehouse is at client building. So if you open data warehouse for your company or your organization, definitely you had couple of machines who are at on premises. So that is the, you know, data warehouse, traditional data warehouse. So if you have machine, definitely you have to take care about its configurations, its various operating systems, its cost, its networking, internet access, security, etc. So we will touch each and every point, that is the certain things which we have to take care of traditional data warehouse. The cloud has changed this scenario totally, because we don't have to bother about building, we don't have to bother about machine configuration, machine upgradation. So that is the cloud data warehouse. So first question which come into our mind, you will say, Deepak or Rahat, why Azure data warehouse? Why not SQL database warehouse or Oracle data warehouse at one machine? That is the first question come into our mind. Like, why don't I have data warehouse in Toronto or Saskatchewan or New York or Germany instead of our office on-prem, say at Dhaka? So why it's on cloud? What is the, say, second question is, okay, we understand, it would be the, you know, Azure data warehouse. What is the advantage? What I will gain it? Why I will choose Azure data warehouse? Why I will choose cloud data warehouse? That is the another question which come into our mind. No, I will not, you know, export my data over the cloud. I couldn't see it. So what is the reason? So I would say performance and scalability are the reason which drives you towards cloud data warehouse. Okay, you could say, okay, if you are saying, but we will do a practical of it. Next is billing and provisioning. Next stuff is when you propose, you are all our future engineers, you are consultant, you may be doing consultancy for big organization. Couple of my friends are working with International Atomic Research Center, Vienna. So at that point of time, next question in front of you is how much it will cost me. So that is about the billing and provisioning of data warehouse. So that are the some nitty-gritty about it. Reason for Azure data warehouse is it is platform as a service. You could see my screen. If I'm saying platform as a service, you don't have to worry about operating system. You don't have to worry about software, network access, security. You, all these things are taken care of by cloud itself. If, for example, when I was working at Xerox, our one of the production server is on 2003 R2. So I got that assignment, okay, I have to upgrade that production server to 2008 R2, end of life of that server. So that thing as an activity, you don't have to take care about. Database, how to expand database, which database you have to use, procurement, license cost, nothing you have to worry about. Software, hosting, network access, security. These are the things which are taken care about cloud itself. Doesn't that sound good? That is awesome, right? Everything is available at cloud, and that's what we have, Azure data warehouse. You don't have to procure machine. You don't have to look over its RAM, its hardware, its software, its security. Everything is taken care by cloud. And nowadays, if you know, there is a lot of security compliances, lot of security breach happened recently, but you will happy to know not a single incident has been recorded till now on the cloud. Okay, another reason, we look over platform as a service, first reason. Another reason you could say in on-prem, if I'm saying on-prem, it means old data warehouse technology, we have symmetric multiprocessing, means one machine communicating with another database, whereas in cloud we have multiple machines communicating with each other. What is the benefit of it? If you type an URL, you find 404 error, website not found. So what does it mean? It means website is not available. Whereas in this case, if your machine is, this machine get down, then your request will be procured by here. You will receive your request. So in another way, I'm trying to make it very simple. In another way, what is the benefit? The total uptime of machine would be very high. For example, if you are working as a consultant and you are working for Royal Bank of Scotland, right? If I will say, okay, make a data warehouse, if you choose symmetrical multiple processing and say your server is down because of any incident, because of any reason, the transaction, multiple transaction happening around the world will be fail. That will be anomalous and number of uncountable business loss, reputation loss. But if you propose multiple parallel processing, you could say, okay, if this machine is down, this machine will return the response. So that if there is $1,000 transaction is happening, that will complete it. So you will not lose client, you will not lose reputation. Okay, so that is the symmetric multiprocessing and massively parallel processing. For simplify, I will say SMP or MPP. SMP is on-prem or old way of data warehouse, where MPP is new way of a data warehouse. In another simple way, symmetric multiple processing share common operating system. They have, you know, common machine, whereas MPP have multiple processor. They communicate by messaging interface. That is the another beautiful feature. If each and everyone is have its own processor, it means we have more high time. We are 16 guys in the call till now. Say if we are on same platform and that platform doesn't responding, or that operating system doesn't responding, we are we 16 are the different process and operating system is not responding, all 16 will be not respond. We will not respond. We will be become unrespond. Whereas if we are on different operating system, then if one process is down, definitely 15 will respond. So I will try to connect the cloud with our day-to-day way of thinking. And that's why my objective is, and because of that, massively parallel processing is very important. For example, here is the user. You could see these users. This may be Biren, Sabir, another my folks, you know, Sariful. And if they request from cloud, there are n number of machine. You could see over here, they are here to give you respond. So you will get respond in each and every time. So that is the another benefit. Okay, so till now we understand what is on-prem computer, what is on-prem data warehouse. We said on-prem data warehouse, where data warehouse machine or data is reside on-prem, on that premises, on that building. Say if you are working for Royal Bank of Dhaka, then that machine will be at Royal Bank of Dhaka. So what is the loss in case of any natural disaster? What will happen? You will lose all data. If server is, you know, not responding, you will lose customer, you will lose transaction. Whereas if you are at cloud, you will mitigate natural disaster, any activity, and because of that, you know, you can run your business every time. That's why it is on demand. It has 99.9%, you know, high time. So the cost. Now the another part is the cost. How much it will cost us, right? Cost is very important part. So if you procure a server, how much it will cost you? That would be the another question. So as you know, Azure subscription is free. The guy who didn't have Azure subscription till now, you will register with your Outlook or Hotmail account. You will get the subscription free. $250 per month will be the free. So you can have, you know, data warehouse for that. So how the power will be measured of data warehouse? Can I ask one question? How the power of a car is measured? Any answer? That will get a gift. How you measure power of a car? In horsepower? Oh, that's right, Chintan. Chintan will get another t-shirt. Okay. Another thing, how you measure the power of electricity? That's right, Sabir. Tef, awesome. Awesome. That's good. So definitely you guys are very involved. I'm happy to see that. And you, everyone deserve for a gift. And so power of data warehouse is measured in data warehouse unit. What does data warehouse unit means? Allocation of resource to SQL data warehouse. How resources are allocated? How many resources allocated? If I'm saying resource, it may be the CPU, it may be the processor, it may be the hardware. So all that unit is measured in, you know, data warehouse unit. So compute power is the power behind SQL data warehouse unit. I will say, okay, my 100 data warehouse unit is not sufficient to take load of this business transaction. Then what will be the next course of action? We will increase our data warehouse unit to more than 100, 750 or 200. So the beauty of this part is, if you procure a laptop, right, if you have some 16 GB of RAM, if you found that RAM is not sufficient, you will take another RAM, you know, plug it, your motherboard may or may not support it. Whereas in data warehouse unit, if you have to increase the performance, today we will increase the performance. We will do the demo and it will be the fraction of seconds. Yes, you are right. You can increase the compute power performance of data warehouse unit in fraction of second. You can increase the hardware, you can increase the all the software, you can upgrade the software. So that is the another benefit of, you know, data warehouse unit. So let's take one example, very simple example. If we have 100 data warehouse unit and three tables, three SQL table or Oracle table, you can consider anyone, load in 15 minutes, right? Then if I increase its data warehouse unit or computing power five times, then what will happen? It will increase, it increase five times. So three table will be loaded in 15 by 5, that is 3 minutes. So 1 minute each table. So you can consider same TEF is working, you know, with an organization, and as an enterprise architect, I would say, hey, TEF, I want to increase the performance of this production server 5 times. So he don't have to, you know, bring RAMs and insert in the socket, and after RAM also he is not sure how the hardware will respond, how the software is compatible with that. He will say, okay, Deepak, I will, you know, work on increasing the data warehouse unit. So that is the beauty. It's make us make our life, engineers' life, much easier. So that is a benefit of data warehouse unit. We can count on it. We are not sure if we increase 5 times RAM. Certainly we are getting, you know, we will get 5 times performance. We are not sure about that, but we can make sure about it, right? So that is another benefit of data warehouse unit. It is a compute power. We could say, okay, I increase the compute power 5 times. Awesome. So how many data warehouse units should I use? Another question is, if we have to start with data warehouse units, say Sabir is saying, okay, Deepak, I want to, you know, start with data warehouse unit, or Sariful Nibir is also discussing with him. So the good way to start with that data warehouse unit is you take, because as we discuss, it is, you know, couple of transactions are free. You could say for a 1 month you can use it free. You start with minimum data warehouse unit. You look for your performance, application performance, say by 100 data warehouse unit. If you want to increase it, increase to 200. So because it's fraction of seconds, you can increase the data warehouse unit. That is the benefit. So you have to start with minimum data warehouse unit. Please know that Azure data warehouse unit is from 100 to 6,000 data warehouse unit. You could use 100 to 6,000 data warehouse unit, and it is pay per use. If you are using 100, you will get the cost of 100. If you are using 2,000 data warehouse unit, cost is over there. So in dollars, in Canada, 100 data warehouse unit cost us $1.62 per hour. So you have a clear understanding, because you are all our potential engineers, architects, you should have to take care about, okay, how these things are working, you know, and you have to take care of about that stuff. So cost is in front of that. So you have fair idea, you can share with your, you know, architect meeting, hey, if we start with 100 data warehouse unit, it will cost me $1.62 per hour. And for production, definitely for production server, you can increase it. How the service is built? Now you have data warehouse, you procure a data warehouse. How the service will be built? Service will be built, data warehouse unit used per hour, right? It will be used in per hour. What does it mean, TEF? It means if there are holidays, right? At Christmas time, we know it's, you know, a huge sale in world, right? So you can increase your data warehouse unit. You can increase your data warehouse unit 5 times. Here on Christmas, we take the gift for our friends, you know, we ship them on different stuff. We increase the data warehouse unit. But when it will be the vacation time, you can decrease the data warehouse unit. So the benefit is you can control it, you know, very easily around the globe. You don't have to be at that location to control the performance of your server or data warehouse unit at that location itself. You are traveling, say you are you guys are at Switzerland, and you know, you get the call from your friend, hey, or your team member, hey, We are experiencing very bad performance. Could you increase it? Because you are the administrator, you can increase from there. So that is the benefit of cloud. You are not dependent. You don't have to be the place where machine is. You don't have to be at Dhaka or Xerox Rochester or Toronto. No, you can do it from anywhere. That is another benefit about our cloud computing. So data warehouse unit costing can be paused if that is not in use. For example, anyone can give example when it could be paused? Any example? Any scenario where we could pause, you know, where we could pause the data warehouse unit? Okay.
Can I speak?
Yeah, sure.
So in a case when no request is coming from the client and a product is idle, in that case service won't be costed.
That's nice, Biren. But I would say, okay, if request is not coming right now, but we don't know when request will come, right? It may come after a minute. If you stop, okay. It will come after a second. It will come after an hour. In a 2 hours, you may get 1,000 request. So, but I really appreciate Biren. For me, I would say, okay, we have created data warehouse server at development server, staging server, production server. Development is for developers, and say on weekend, we can schedule on weekend it will stop, right? Because no developer is in the company. No will do development on Saturday or Sunday, right? So in that scenario, we can stop our data warehouse service. And Sabir is also saying, say during holidays, yeah, for development server we could do, or you could say 8 to 5 is our office hours, say 6 p.m. sharp it will stop. We can schedule it. But I appreciate Biren and Sabir for your answer, your involvement. I really appreciate that. Very good answer, guys. So now do some look over some practical stuff. That is always interesting. So if you don't have any portal, you could see my screen. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so if I click on pricing, here is the SQL data warehouse, right? If I click over here, we could say the region, say in East India or East Asia or Southeast Asia.
We can see your screen, Deepak, the browser, I guess. We can just see the slide.
Okay, that sound something weird. Yeah. If I'm opening my browser, it's let me do in different way.
Maybe you need to minimize the presentation slide.
Okay. Is it now you could see screen?
No, actually.
Okay. Well, I guess now you could see, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so what I did, thanks, Rifat. This is the Azure portal. If anyone don't have any access, please register it. It is free of cost, $250. That will credit it in your account. You can create your virtual machine. You can create your database. You can host your website like me on Azure or like Rahat. Anything, you can do that. And yeah, play around it. Play around it. Take the bus at right time. This is the right time for cloud computing. You all are potential engineers having very bright future, and definitely if you learn, improve your skill set, you have very good opportunity. Okay, I went to pricing. In pricing, if you go here on SQL Data Warehouse, you could see SQL Data Warehousing pricing. So in East India or East Asia or Southeast Asia, in Canadian dollar or US dollar, whatever the currency is, I'm not bother about it. You know how much it will cost you. 100 data warehouse unit cost you 2057. I'm just putting this link in chat box so that you guys, you know, when you got the time, you go over there, register yourself. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask me or Rahat, you know, anytime, and we will more happy to help you. So you got the idea of a data warehouse unit. I revisit all the things. We talk about traditional data warehouse unit, which is on prem. We talk about Azure data warehouse unit because of various benefit. You don't have to take care about operating system. You don't have to take care about networking. You don't have to take care about software because it is the platform as a service. You don't have to take care about security, which is very important. You don't have to worry about natural disaster, say any terrorist, any attack, or natural disaster or some terrorist attack, or you know, anything, earthquake, which is, you know, your data is secure. Why data is secure? Data is the backbone of any business. If you lost data, you lost everything, right? So that is the benefit of cloud. We have storage, we have data storage and snapshot, we have geo redundancy. What does geo redundancy means, right? Let me tell you what does it mean. So once you have you know, your Azure portal, my Azure portal is given by my company, you could see Solvira Solution, and they are also sponsored for our event. So yeah, so once you have your Azure portal, you can go over there, you could see on dashboard, you know, various things where it is present, and you could see the SQL database, virtual machine. I think we got one question about virtual machine also. It is, you know, very easy, but we will talk about this later. I'm getting some background noise. If someone is not at mute, please. Okay, we will go to storage account. From storage account, we can create a data warehouse unit. But before that, I will start where we have left. we look over the Azure portal and okay. So we look over Azure portal just now. We look over what Azure portal is, how it looks over. We look over SQL Azure Data Warehouse. Over here we look over the pricing part, how much it cost. And we find out, okay, how much it will cost me in Canadian dollar or say any part. We look over Azure dashboard, which you guys are requested to create that. In database, we will go and create some, you know, data warehouse, Azure data warehouse, so that you have that idea. So we did that practical stuff. After that, I will create Azure data warehouse and we will, you know, then we will take question and answer and I will appreciate the best. Okay, so here we are. So this is our Azure portal. If we click on add, if we give the name, say test with Bangladesh Fox, this is Visual Studio subscription. We can use existing resource group. We can create blank database. Elastic pool means there are couple of properties where I would like to discuss. Elastic pool means where you want it will increase, database size will increase as per demand. For example, you procure with 10 GB. If data is increasing to 15 GB, you don't have to explicitly do that. You have to, you know, you have to, that Azure portal will take care about that stuff. So we can create it in the same way. You can have your data warehouse like this. So how we create it? We went over there, we create in add, and from there we you know, give all these details on pricing. We look over Elastic Pool, we look over. So this is on 7th December, which I have created a database. So you can increase, play around it. You can do geo application. Geo application means you can have, you know, your database at any location. You may want your database to be at replicated at New York, so that in any case, there is some natural disaster at that particular location, so you have geo replication on different location. So we will take care, we will discuss about that properties in detail on next session. And like resource, health, performance overview, you have a number of features, but you know, I would like first you will look over that stuff and you understand why data warehouse is required. What is the benefit? We look over geo replication. Geo replication means where you want to replicate your data. if you are one server is at Dhaka, definitely you want another server in different geographical locations, say Europe or US or Canada region. If a particular geography is affected by a storm or tornado or anything, definitely you would, you know, you want your location to be, your data to be safe. So I think we are done. I would like to give the questions answer, and you know, after that questions answer, I will put, maybe I will share more information, but I would like to share, I would like to have, you know, questions answer from you guys. So anyone who want to ask any questions, feel free to ask any question regarding cloud, regarding technology, regarding trend. We are more happy to help that, and then we can move ahead for my 2-3 slides. But yeah, any questions, they can unmute yourself. Nikhil is saying, how hardware are linked to the cloud? Is, well, is it something like linked list? Okay, well, if Nikhil, if I talk about hardware, what does hardware means for me? From computer perspective, hardware means this, my headphone, my laptop, my, you know, my hard drive, my processor, my display, my motherboard, etc. So how hardware is linked? Hardware is linked because we have different virtual machine. You could see this machine. If you create this virtual machine, I can create this virtual machine within fraction of minute for you. Say it will ask me, okay, which virtual machine you want to create? Windows server, Red Hat server, Ubuntu server, SharePoint server, right? And yeah, and you don't have to take care about hard drive, you don't have to take care about RAM. So that is a part of our cloud and different virtual machine data warehouse. Data warehouse itself is 1,000 times more than virtual machine. So that is the reason it will take care of, you know, it will take care of virtual machines. So Nikhil, how hardware are linked to the cloud? So the cloud contains hardware, or you can say cloud has connectivity with their data center, cloud specific data center, where they have virtual machine, very very big virtual machines, right? Where when I create the virtual machine, say I'm creating a virtual machine, window virtual machine, now I'm giving, you know, all that detail. Okay, it's asking me 2012 R2. Now if I create this virtual machine, okay, it's saying, okay, I'm creating this. If I submit this button, create, right, you could see virtual machine is over here. You can give the virtual machine name Nikhil virtual machine, right? Username is, I would say, Nikhil. Password, I don't know, Nikhil, what is your default password, but 1234 at the rate Bangladesh, right? So confirm password. So this is the way you are creating your hardware, and this hardware is connected in cloud. Thanks Nikhil for the question. Another question is from Sabir. Can you kindly repeat which cause the consider about where geo replicate? Exactly Sabir, this is very important questions, and thank for asking that. Say, let's talk like buddy, right? If I have my, you know, my database at Regina where I'm sitting, and my in case of any natural disaster, say earthquake or tsunami or tornado, right, my data center get destroyed, I lose all the data. being a bank company, being a bank, having transaction about trillion of dollars, if I lost the data, I don't know how many money is in Sabir account or how many money is in Deepak account. So it means we lost our data, and as a client we lost our money, right? So if I want to geo-replicate it, geo means geographical, replicate, duplicate it. So if I have to geo-replicate it, where I will do? Definitely, I will not do in same continent. I will not do in America, North America. Why? Because earthquake is not limited up to kilometers. It may be thousands of kilometers or thousands of miles. Same about tsunami, same about any disaster, you know. So I would like, if my operation is running in Canada, definitely I would look over Asian continent or European continent. That is the reason we would opt for geo-replication. And geo-replication practice is to do it in different continent. Never do it near to seashore. Never do it in mountain areas. There are a couple of features, couple of principles to do that. I hope I give the answer of your question, Sabir. Thanks for asking such a wonderful question. I think this has clarified to everybody. Tef, can we change the location of our data multiple times? Suppose if someone changed their mind later on, why not? You can change. You can change the data. You can change. The beauty with cloud is, you know, you are not limited or restricted up to the data, operating system, the hardware, the software. You have flexibility to do that. You have flexibility to increase that. We have look over. We have just look over how easy it is to increase, you know. Down the time, it is the first session. Down the time we will do, definitely I will invite one of you guys to create one virtual machine over here relatively, so that one guy will create a database, and that is the beauty of it. So answer to your question is yes, we can change the location. Let me connect with business. I open a website, I open a business, say deepaktutorials.com, though I have website deepakosik.com. My business, my seminars are more successful, say in Europe instead of Asia, then definitely I will move my data center, geographically data center, over there. And or you have business, you open a business, Sabir, and you know, Tef, my friend, and your business is more in Europe, then definitely you don't want your business, you know, request will come to Asian continent instead of Europe. You want your data to be at Europe so that it will be the speedy communication. So definitely that is the benefit, and you can move it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir, Biren.
Yes, Deepak, whenever we geo-replicate our data warehouse from one location to another, is it possible to reconfigure the redundant copy in a different way?
If you are talking about redundant copy, you must be referring to the data, which is the data which is on your server, right? Say you have data warehouse in Dhaka. You want another data warehouse in say Toronto. So if you create another data warehouse and make it geo-replicate, so all the data which is at Dhaka will be at Toronto, and both will be syncing. Both will be syncing as per the algorithm. That may be in minute. That may be in, you know, couple of seconds. So definitely that will be the replication, and that's why it is geo-replication. We don't afford to, you know, lose any data.
Okay, thank you.
You are welcome, Biren. Thanks for asking such a wonderful question. Sabir, okay. Can we create any kind of database in Azure? NoSQL, MySQL? Yes, my friend. We have just look over, you know, let me go over here. Let me create the data database, it will ask me, okay, what database? Okay, this is SQL database. So we have feature over here. When we create, you know, database, it will ask me which database I have to create. So you can create any data, any database. So not, you are not restricted up to SQL, SQL or MySQL or NoSQL. Recently ransomware attack is able to attack cloud platform? No, very good question, Chintan. Ransomware, if we know, that is, you know, first planned cyber attack having trillions of dollars goes to the world. Definitely that does not impact on cloud computer. Or very specific to your question, it only impact XP operating system machine. Why? Because they doesn't have support now, and they specifically made for this. A, B, many ATM machines are still on, you know, XP machine. That is another reason. So they are well educated guy who did with the planning. Nihal, if my server is in Asia, then it will be quicker to access it from Asia than other continent. Of course, request time will be definitely faster. For example, if I'm accessing, you know, the server which is at Asia versus the server which is at the same geographical location, definitely it would be fast. That is another one of the principle of networking and also included in cloud. So yeah, I think we are done with the question. Well, I'm very happy to see the questions, and yeah, I would like, before summing up, I would like you guys, if you go to, you know, I don't know if you have access, but if you go to CSAP Corner website, and if you join CSAP Corner chapter, you can find the articles. Rahat articles is over there, mine article is over there, the, you know, various blogs is over there. You could read it, you could understand it. First, you can contribute it, you can ask questions, we will give the answer to that questions. Thirdly, if you write it, your social profile will increase. This is advice to juniors by a senior, you know. So what will be the benefit if you will say, Deepak, if we create our profile, and why only CSAP Corner? So me, Rahat, we all are at CSAP Corner. This is a good way to start your social profile. Create your account at CSAP Corner. What will be the benefit after 4 year, 5 year, when you will be platinum or gold, or, you know, you are at that profile, when you apply for job, definitely you will find, you know, employer will look over your social profile. Let me share you one example. When I gave the interview at Xerox in New York, they didn't ask only technical question, though interview was 8-9 round of interview, but one interview was dedicated to my social contribution. So which I learned couple of year back, I would like to share. Create your account. You can join our chapter, like Delhi chapter or Regina chapter. I think that is active in Bangladesh also. And if you clear some contribution, you will get, you know, couple of recognition, recognition in terms of which you can showcase in your profile. For example, You will look over you will look over, okay, I'm MVP, I'm chapter lead, you know, I'm a speaker. You will also get that. Please start contributing on any platform, but I'm saying C-Sharp Corner. You can connect me at deepakkaushik.com. So this is my website. You can connect me. I will be happy to, you know, give you answer to your questions. If you have any question regarding your career, how to start, you can post us. We will give. You can connect us. Someone is on is unmuted himself, and I'm getting a lot of voice. So we would like to give career guidance, career consultancy. What to do, how to get the good result as per our best experience. I think that's what is from my side, and thanks, Sabir. I'm most happy to do that. I would like to share. I'm from a village. Very, you know, my childhood was village of India. Even I never know, like, I will visit 12-20 countries. I will speaking in front of, you know, native English speaker. Hindi medium student. So I will happy. I would like to see all you guys on different horizon, different perspective. And if you have any question, you have any doubt regarding your basic concept, you can post us, you can connect us, you can join me at C-Sharp Corner, you can you know, connect me at my website, and feel free. Over to you, Rahat. I think I'm all done, buddy.
Thank you, Deepak bro. It was really a very like a nice and interactive presentation by you, and I guess people really like it was really helpful for everyone. So, okay, now I'm changing to presenter mode. I will need your help.
Yeah, sure. Most happy to do that.
So you guys can see my screen now?
Yeah.
Okay. So hello everyone, welcome again. This is Rahat Yasir. Welcome to my presentation, Microsoft Azure and Azure Machine Learning for Developers. So today, what we are going to do is, like Deepak already showed and talked about Azure and Azure Data Warehouse, but now I'm going to like talk about Microsoft Azure a bit, and then I will move to Azure Mobile Service, Cognitive API, and Azure Machine Learning Toolkit. I will just show a simple demo on Cognitive Toolkit, and other than that, I will just talk about the high-level overview of those technologies, and then maybe next week we are going to organize another webinar where I will like show some machine learning and data analysis hands-on. So yeah, and as I have already told you guys, that I'm Microsoft MVP in Windows development. So why? What is Azure? So let's talk about Azure first. So Microsoft Azure is a cloud platform. You all know about that, and a cloud computing platform and infrastructure created by Microsoft for building, deploying, and managing applications and services through a global network of Microsoft managed data centers. So what happened? Microsoft Azure is an open and flexible cloud platform where you can build, deploy, manage, and applications across global network. And you don't need to think about any like any language, tool, or framework. Azure does support everything, like from Java, PHP. I guess in the past, Ruby and Rails were not supported by Azure, but I heard like recently they're also giving support to Ruby and Rails as well. And obviously, .NET C# is also like supported because those are Microsoft tools. And you can easily integrate public cloud applications with your existing IT environment. So if you have an existing application, you don't need to think about like how you can move to Azure from your existing infrastructure or data source. You can easily move it, configure it the way you have configured it, your existing one. It's pretty easy actually. And why do you need to use Azure or cloud? The first thing is like speed. It is faster than traditional application development. You don't need to think anything. Azure will hand over all the hard work. You can easily scale it. Suppose right now today you have a like application like and 1,000 users are using it. But what if something happened and like you get more user like 5,000 or 10,000 all of a sudden? What will happen? If you go with traditional architecture like infrastructure, then you will have to scale it by yourself with hardware and everything, but and configure the whole thing again. But if you go with Azure, you don't need to think anything. Azure will automatically update itself, scale itself quickly so that it can handle more clients and more requests. And obviously it is economic, and you won't need to spend a lot of money comparing to if you create your own infrastructure. So what type of services are available in Windows Azure? There are like four types of services are available. One is like application services, compute services, data services, and network services. For application services, we can have like HPC, high performance computing, service bus, and analytics, identity, caching. Those are those facilities. For compute, we can have virtual machine, cloud services, website, mobile services. For data service, we can have SQL, a database, HD Insight, blob storage, tables, this type of data services. Like data warehouse is also a part of data services. And for networks, we have different types of like networking services, like virtual network, traffic manager, name resolution. So almost everything is over there. We just need to know how to use them and for like when to use them. So if we go with if we look at the battle of cloud, then we can see that comparing 2015 to 2016, AWS is really like ruling the cloud. That's true, Amazon AWS. But the way Azure is moving forward, it is really appreciable. And I believe like if they move forward like this, they will be able to like catch AWS someday. And compared to other competitors, Azure is obviously way ahead. And recently, we have heard that Microsoft is the first one who has started data center in Africa, African region. So like Microsoft is moving pretty aggressively. And also, in last 1 year, like in 2017, the growth of Azure is almost equivalent to AWS. So this is actually a good, like this is the best time for us to learn Azure. Azure cloud and whoever is student on and like planning to like enter into industry, it's a good opportunity for you guys. Like you can prepare yourself early, and also like in future you will have demand, you will have like market will need you, and you will serve it. You will get like good job as a, like data analyst or like Azure expert or as a cloud architect. So you have plenty of opportunities over there. So let's talk about Azure Mobile Services. What we can do with Azure Mobile Services? There are actually four type of features and options for us for Azure Mobile Services. One is like data, one is auth, one is push, and one is tooling. So maybe some of us here, like among us, are like mobile developers. So most of the time, what we do, we go with traditional application development approaches. But if we use Azure Mobile Service, then it will make our life way easy. It's like for data, we can have like we can use Azure databases. Like we can also have like table storage, MongoDB as NoSQL. We can also like store our mobile data, like data that we generate from our mobile application in different types of like storage using Azure like web APIs. And if we go with auth, like if we design something and if our application requires like authentication or login, then we can use Azure Auth Mobile Service that will help us to like log into our system using Facebook, Twitter, Google, Microsoft account. Sometime whenever we install some mobile application, we can check like it asks us, okay, we can we can create account through our email address, password, or we can create account using existing Facebook, Twitter, Google, or Microsoft account. So this is how it works. If you use as a mobile service, authentication service, then you will just integrate as the facility with your mobile application, and it will be able to like you will be able to like integrate Facebook, Twitter, Google login facilities as well. And it doesn't mean like Azure is for Microsoft, and Azure is a tool of Microsoft, and like it only supports Microsoft product. No, it does support like Google, like Android, iOS, or any other platform actually. So if we develop something regarding using Xamarin or UWP, you can easily convert those application in any other platform. And also, you can use this type of authentication facilities. Push notification. You can use like push notification in your application using as a mobile service. Suppose like depending on your data, you wanna inform something to your users, you can design it, design your application and also like your mobile service in that way, and you like users will get push notification directly from the Azure cloud. And there are like tooling which is like runtime available on NuGet, so you don't need to think about that. There are like in-browser test client for Visual Studio support, like IntelliSense, first-class deployment, web development, and Git. Those facilities are also available in as in mobile services. So, if you're a mobile developer, I'll suggest you to look into Azure mobile services. I guess it will make your life easy. So, let's talk about now cognitive services. So, I don't know how many people are familiar with cognitive services, but the interesting thing is like last year, Microsoft launched cognitive services, and this year, recently, last few weeks ago, in this year's build, they have added like few more. They have added few more facilities into cognitive services. So what is that? It's like you can tap into the power of machine learning with easy to use REST APIs. So what is it like? What is the relation between cognitive services and machine learning? It's like it is giving like intelligent solution like. It is a kind of like intelligent solutions able to see, hear, speak, understand, and interpret our needs using natural methods of communication. So what happened? Cognitive service is a service where you can easily add different types of like high-end facilities on your existing mobile application. So why Microsoft Cognitive Services? The first thing is like it is easy. You can easily roll your own with REST APIs. And it is very easy to use and easy to add. I will show one demo of cognitive service, and you will be like, okay, is it that much easy? Okay, and flexible. Yeah, it is. Like you can integrate into the into any language and platform of your choice, and it's not like this is only for Microsoft Azure service or this. It just support. A number of platform. No, you can Microsoft Cognitive Services supports UWP platform, Android, iOS, Python, Node, everywhere. So you can easily use it, and it is tested. Like it is built by experts in their field from Microsoft Research, Bing, and Azure Machine Learning. It is well documented, and there are lots of like sample codes that are also there. Actually, all the sample codes are there. You don't need to do anything. So. So whatever facilities we can add on our existing application using as the cognitive services. So again, Microsoft Cognitive Services actually give your apps a human side. So whatever human side, like we human have vision facilities. We have speech. We can hear. We have language. Like we can process text and learn to recognize things. We have knowledge. We can like take decision from our knowledge as well. And we can search from our past experience. So it's just like human. So we have these two facilities, but our machine doesn't have. So Microsoft developed this tool service, like Microsoft Cognitive Service, to add our to add these two facilities, like vision, speech, language, knowledge, and search to our with our existing any type of application. So things that we can get from Microsoft Cognitive Services are, for Vision APIs, we can get for Vision, we can get different types of APIs like computer vision APIs, emotion, face, video. Maybe you guys have already seen one mobile application where you can take a photo of anyone, and that application will use machine learning facilities and tell you, like, this person looks 30 years old or 10 years old, something like that. That application actually uses Microsoft Cognitive Services, so it is pretty easy. You will just take a photo and send the photo to Microsoft Cognitive Service using one API, web API, and it will return you a JSON where you can see what is the expected age, or what is the predicted age of that person. And also there are speech APIs are also available, which are Bing speech, custom recommendation intelligence services, and speaker recognition. There are language speeches are also available, like Bing spell check, text analytics, web language model, and a lot. For knowledge, there are academic knowledge, you can recommendations, and for search, obviously we can use Bing search facilities on our existing application. We can search news, video, web, image, auto suggest, using Cognitive Service. It's just in our application, if you want to search something using existing technologies, we'll have to there is no APIs for that, for Google search or something like that. We'll have to use that URL and move from there. But for Bing search, we don't need Bing. We just need that API of Cognitive Service, and send some keywords on the header, and it will return us as JSON what is the search result or response. And it is pretty easy, actually. So learn about the Cognitive Services using this link, microsoft.com/cognitive, and also there are hundreds of resources are also available in related to Cognitive Service. I will upload the slides so that everyone can get access to these resources. So let's see a simple demo of Cognitive Service first. It's a very simple one. So this is azure.microsoft.com/cognitive-services. This is the Cognitive Service site where you can see that face API here. This is emotion API, where you can see the happiness is 1, anger is 0 on this face. Here also happiness is 0.99. So we can upload a photo. The Cognitive Service will automatically recognize the photo, recognize those faces, and also calculate the emotion of that face. So let's see a demo of Bing news search. So there is one here. I guess everyone can see my screen. Yeah.
Yeah, we could see your screen, Rahat.
Okay, perfect. So let's go to Bing news search API. So this is Bing news search API. We can preview or check. So if you want to see how it works, so we want to do something where I will use one URL, it's an API, and I will send some data, some keywords, and in return I want the search result of that keyword. So you can see this is Cognitive Services new search API console, where the requested URL is here. What we need to do, the category, we need to submit, we need to send a string as category, and we need a subscription key as well. And it is also giving us the response number, what happened if we get response 401, 403, 429, everything. And if we look at those codes like C#, Java, then we can see that all the sample codes are here. We don't need to do anything, and it's very easy. For JavaScript, the script is here, what type of Ajax call we need to make, those are here. So we just, and the sample code is totally ready. We just need the OCL subscription key, copy the code, create a HTML file, and run it. Then you will see the response. So if we check, if you want to check it, like open API testing console, let's check this tool, this cognitive service. So I will need OCP admin subscription key. You can get the subscription free key from your like using free Cognitive Toolkit account. So I have my subscription key, and here as category, I'm selecting sports, and this is my subscription key, and this is the request URL, and this is the HTTP request. So I'm just sending it, and let's see what happened. So you can see response status 200, it means okay, and this is the output, and our output is like it's a JSON, and it is informing me then the news type, the type is news, values are name, URL, image, everything, and route to the triple crown, it's like sports related news. I can get like hundreds of sports related news of today, and it is very easy. Like you can see the categories is sports, date of published, clustered article, where it happened, related link, any name, who write that. So and we are getting this response from the Bing search, Bing news search. So we don't need to think about Bing or Bing machine or anything, that search engine. We just need to use the cognitive service API, send the category and the OCN subscription, OCP subscription key, and it will give us return us the result. And if we want to integrate this type of facilities with our existing applications, like with our C# application, the sample code is here, or with our Java or JavaScript or Objective-C for our iOS application, or PHP or Python or Ruby. So all the like samples are there for and you just need to know how to use them, and then you can easily integrate them with your application, and you can see there are like lots of cognitive toolkits are available right now. Like for vision, there are like computer vision API, emotion API, face API, even video. Those videos are like in previous stage, but still you can use them and try them. For speech, there are lots of like speech, even like translator is also there. So if you design an application and if you want to translate everything of that application for in different languages depending on the region, you can also use that facilities as well. And for knowledge, language, search, labs, there are like lots of facilities. You just need to like try it by yourself and use them in your existing application. So yeah, that was a simple glimpse of Azure like Microsoft Cognitive Toolkit. And I will upload the slide so that you can get all the developer resources. That's about the Azure. So let's talk about Azure Machine Learning. That's all about like Cognitive Toolkit. Hopefully you guys will use it. So now let's talk about Azure Machine Learning. So it's a very nowadays we are hearing about like Azure Machine Learning, like deep learning, these type of things. So it's not like deep learning or machine learning is just for big boys like Facebook, Microsoft, or like Google. No, it's not like that. Like this is for everyone. It's just like recently last week, like in Google I/O, you guys have seen maybe that what we used to say that this world is mobile first world, and now the slogan has changed. It is AI first world instead of mobile first world. So the whole world is moving towards artificial intelligence and machine learning. So you can get the actual the importance of AI from that statement. And one thing is as I have already described about Microsoft Cognitive Services. So I don't know if you guys know about that or not. Like Microsoft Cognitive Services are using deep learning facilities to do those processing. So you don't need to learn about deep learning. You don't need to learn about, you don't need to gather all those data. Like we all know that to learn deep learning on anything, we need millions of data. It is really hard to gather those data. But Microsoft is processing all of their data in the net that they have, and they're bringing those APIs for us just to use them for developers. So they're making our life easy actually. So let's talk about machine learning. Machine learning is a way to understand the data pattern. It's just like bookish definition. recognize it and predict accordingly for future. And it helps in data mining, language processing, image recognition, and many other artificial intelligence. So what happened actually? Machine learning has actually there like you can describe machine learning in three ways. Like there are actually three types of machine learning. One is like supervised learning, one is unsupervised learning, or one is reinforcement learning. So if you, for Azure machine learning, we will just talk about like supervised and unsupervised. For supervised, you can like how it works. You can predict the future, and you have to learn from past examples to predict future. And for unsupervised learning, you will understand the past. You will make sense of. You will have to make sense of data. You will have to learn the structure of the data, compress the data for consumption, and then for the from the historical data, you will learn the pattern. And after that, you will be able to take the decision. So those two are totally different. One is you are learning from past data and predicting the future, and the another one is you are learning the pattern of past and unsupervised way you are thinking about the future. So those two are different. So Microsoft and machine learning. Microsoft started their journey of machine learning back in 1999. When they launched Windows Live Hotmail, that email. So what happened, computers work on users' behalf and filtering junk emails. So we use email account, and we can see that we do get different types of spam or spam emails every day. And most of the emails are in junk folder. So what happened, our email client actually read those email, and they do some processing, and obviously using artificial intelligence, they filter out this email is useless, this email is spam, and if they're useless and spam, they automatically transfer it to junk folder. So Microsoft is using machine learning and artificial intelligence from 1999 for finding junk emails, and they've also launched Bing in 2004. They're using SQL Server related data mining from 2005, and then they launched Bing Map 2008, and later they're just working. And in 2014, they launched Microsoft Azure Machine Learning. And last year, they launched the complete version, the final version of Azure Machine Learning Studio, where you can use that tool to do data analysis, processing, data mining, and predicting from your data. There are endless possibilities for you to use that tool actually. So why Microsoft Azure Machine Learning? Why not something else? It is built for a cloud-first, mobile-first world where this tool is fully managed. You don't need to install any software or you don't need to think about any hardware as well. It's like a web-based application. You can easily use it. You can simply drag and drop different components in the Azure Machine Learning Studio and design your own model. Most of the machine learning popular machine learning algorithms are already there, already developed. You don't need to write any code, but still, if you want to develop your own customized machine learning model, then you can algorithm. Then you can integrate them using R and Python. And you can easily deploy your machine learning application in just a minute. You don't need to think about anything. It will automatically create a web service for you. You will just create the model, create the service, then add it with your existing application. So there is a quote from a student. He said, "I spent last semester building a regression model in Python. And I just did the same thing in 10 minutes using Azure Machine Learning. It is that much easy." So if we look at the process, how it works. So we need to set up the cloud environment. Then we will need data. Then we will do some data processing. After that, we will build the model and then we can deploy the model and use it with our existing applications. So why do we need machine learning? Sometimes we have bad misconception, machine learning is just for like language processing, image processing, something like that. No, machine learning is actually for everyone. So let's talk about a scenario where like this guy, his name is Carl. He owns a company that operates a vending machine in Washington State. So his job is to make sure that his 100 vending machines are selling drinks and obtaining revenues. And Carl wants revenue to always be high and his business to be profitable. So what happened? Sadly, vending machine will occasionally break and may take up to 7 days to fix, thus hurting sales, obviously. And to eliminate this occurrence, Carl must maintain operations and figure out the best way to utilize resources in order to optimize revenues. So if you want to solve Carl's problem, then how can we solve it? Like, which machines have failed? How can we know about that? Okay, and the same question is like, which machines will fail soon? And how do we plan maintenance? So he's maintaining a big maintenance team. If the maintenance team is not getting any report from the client or customer, then they're ideally like sitting at their office. So Carl is also like paying them, and he is also like wasting a lot of money. So in the current scenario, what is happening? Damages reported by customer or during weekly restocking routes, and technician must be scheduled to investigate, and process take up to 8 days to fix a broken machine. Okay, if we use real-time sensors like IoT, you guys can sense like, okay, we can use Internet of Things, like small devices with those vending machine to inform Carl, like, okay, this vending machine is not working, so you should do something. So if you go with that way, then sensor data is used to monitor cooler condition in real time. Broken cooler are identified at time of failure. When it has failed, then the broken cooler, like the IoT device, will send a signal to Carl. And obviously, lost sales remain due to maintenance lead terms. Like at first he got to know that his vending machine is not working, and then he will send his maintenance team. Still, within that process, he's losing 2 or 3 days. But if we go with sensor and machine learning technology, then what happened? Azure machine learning predicts where, when, and what failures will occur based on sensor data, and he won't need to do anything. Azure machine learning will work with the IoT devices, like IoT sensors, and it will create like nice report to him, like using Power BI or something else. So he will just monitor the those spreadsheets or the web tool, and like he will just even like estimate like the plan for the maintenance team as well. It will make his life easy. So if we think about the overall architecture, then what happened here? Like gathering those data from IoT sensors are considered as social data. So IoT sensors are gathering data from the vending machine. Then it is sending the data to Azure as blob storage or something else. And the data scientists that we are like designing one as model for using those data, the real-time data, in our workspace and data science lab. And after that, what happened after creating the data, like the model, we will publish the model as a web service in just a minute. And after that, Carl, the owner, will add will use Power BI dashboard or Excel API to see real-time data analysis using Azure machine learning on those sensor data. So whenever there is any problem, he will be able to see that on his dashboard. And also, if he configured the dashboard in proper way, the dashboard will automatically by itself suggest him like the schedule for the maintenance team. So maintenance team won't need to like sit idle, and they will get to work accordingly. So he, and at the same time, he won't lose any money, and his business will be always up and running. So yeah, that's why we need as a machine learning, and machine learning is not for just for like big processing. Machine learning is for everyone. So producers are us. We are designing, like we are using Machine Learning Studio, where we we are using a machine learning algorithms, we can create model, and after creating model, there are like opportunities for us to launch our model in marketplace. It's just like mobile applications. The way we can create mobile application and launch it in App Store or marketplace, we can also create machine learning model and launch it in App Store or not App Store, in machine learning marketplace. And consumers like normal people or like business owners will be able to see them, download them and use them as well. So they are creating one ecosystem for machine learning developers and machine learning models, just like apps. So what can Azure Machine Learning do for us? We can do endless things, like we can do social networking and network analysis. We can predict maintenance. We can do web app optimization. We can do fraud detection, life science research. We can use Azure Machine Learning. Like if you're a student, you can use Azure Machine Learning tool in your class project as well, and it will obviously look very cool. And you can use natural resource exploration. So there are like lots of opportunities for us to use Azure Machine Learning. And all, as I have already told you, like you don't need to write any code. All the best like popular algorithms are already there implemented. So what you need to do, like on 8 categories, 33 algorithms are already implemented, like 2+ decision jungle, 1+ support vector machine, PCA for anomaly detection, linear regression, neural network, all of them are there. Obviously deep learning is not there. Deep learning is a different thing, but as at the same time, Microsoft last year, at the beginning of this year, I guess, or last year end, they launched CNKT tool for deep learning. So if you want to learn deep learning, you can also try with CNKT, where it is pretty easy to use, and all lots of examples are already in Git, Microsoft repositories. So you can use